TV.
From Lima, Peru, Martin Zender here. Yeah, I feel kind of naked without my microphone. With this microphone in front of me, I just get some extra something, but I got the lapel mic working here. The problem is now the table, because the stand and the cord for the third light, the key light, were located. So we're all good on the lights. And we bought some hooks today for the green screen. See, back in Fort Lauderdale, I have the screen, the actual screen you pull up. But here, I have this sheet. So it's a lot more difficult. And we were using tape, but every other day it would fall down. So I think the key might be these hooks if they hold to the wall. And I need another chair because this one just creaks. And I don't like that. This is a professional show. And so these amateurish problems need to be solved, and they will be solved. But today I want to talk about a topic that's very exciting to all of us, and that is the times we are living in. So this is an end times update. I believe that 2033 is 2,000 years from the crucifixion of Christ. And the plainest I've ever seen the 6,000-year plan put is that from Adam to Abraham is 2,000 years. From Abraham to the time of Christ is another 2,000 years. And from the death of Christ to his return will be another 2,000 years. And this will fulfill the 6,000 years of man, six being the number of man. And then the millennial Sabbath, the 1,000 years of peace, which will complete the 7,000-year program of God, 6,000 years of man, 1,000 years of peace on earth with Christ ruling in Jerusalem. And then the 8,000th year, 8,000 being the new beginning, will be the time of the new heavens and the new earth. I mean, that is just perfect. So we really don't even need to worry about if the 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. It's the 2,000 years from Christ till now that interests us. And it is so confusing trying to find out the year of Jesus Christ's crucifixion. You would think that it would be an unforgettable year, but it's not. And it's really frustrating. I mean, all day I've been looking at different people's viewpoints. Most people have it pinned between 30 and 33. The broader scope of the thing is 26 to 36, because those were the years that Pontius Pilate ruled in Judea. So we have a 10-year period of Pontius Pilate. So Christ had to be crucified between 26 and 36. And again, this is important, because when we count 2,000 years from the death, entombment, and resurrection of Christ, we have the second coming of Christ. And when we have a year for the second coming of Christ, we subtract 7 years to allow for the tribulation. And we believe, and I believe, that we will be snatched away before the beginning of the tribulation. So what year would be the death of Christ? I think the most helpful passage on this is, surprisingly, Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Now, in the 15th year of the government of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, yet Philip his brother being tetrarch of the province of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias being tetrarch of Abilene. I mean, I've said this before, but it is so obvious that Luke wants you to know what freaking year this is. And it's so frustrating to learn that not even the scholars can agree on this year. But it is generally believed that Tiberius came into power in AD 14 after the death of Augustus. So the 15th year of the government of Tiberius Caesar, and by the way, this was the year that John the Baptist came into the Jordan heralding a baptism of repentance. That's how, I should have finished that. That's how Luke chapter 3 continues. In the 15th year of the government of Tiberius Caesar, came a declaration of God to John, the son of Zechariah. That's what happened in this year. A declaration came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he came into the entire country about the Jordan, heralding baptism of repentance and the pardon of sins. And of course, we know what happened. Verse 21, now it occurred, as all the people are baptized, at Jesus also being baptized and praying, heaven is opened. So this was 29 AD, and Jesus is baptized. The 15th year of Tiberius is pretty well agreed to be 29 AD, and Jesus is baptized soon after this word came to John. We have no indication that there was a long period of time transpired before Jesus came to John. This is an important year. So Jesus's ministry begins in 29. And his ministry, you can be traced through the Gospels that his ministry went through three Passovers. So his ministry is generally believed to have been 3 or 3.5 years. So a 30 AD crucifixion date is too early. And the latest date is 36, but that's too late, because that would give Jesus a 7-year ministry. And so I believe that 33 is the right year. And of course, there's a huge division as to what day Jesus was crucified. After all the research I've done, I believe he had to have been crucified on a Wednesday and rose on a Saturday, one of the Sabbaths. So many of the English Bibles say, and on the first day of the week, but that is completely wrong, is one of the Sabbaths, plural, because there were two Sabbaths that week. There was the Sabbath associated with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was a high holy day, which was also counted as a Sabbath. And I believe that would have been on Thursday. And so Jesus was crucified on the day of preparation of that Sabbath, the high holy day, that is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So he would have been crucified on a Wednesday. That would put him in the tomb for the 3 days and 3 nights required. Otherwise, according to the Christian tradition, they don't have many things right, do they? Friday crucifixion to a Sunday resurrection, first day of the week, which is a bad translation. You don't get 3 days and 3 nights there, do you? No, you don't. And they have some creative ways of getting around that, just as they have some creative ways of getting around just about every other truth. So if the crucifixion was indeed in 33 AD, and that looks to me like the strongest contender, then that is 2,000 years. Then 2033 is 2,000 years. And you subtract 7 years from that, and the tribulation begins in 2026. Gee, we're only a few days from 2026. Christ has to return in the fall to fulfill the Feast of Tabernacles, the only feast that has not been fulfilled spiritually. Passover was fulfilled at Christ's death. Pentecost fulfilled 50 days later when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. And so the one remaining feast is Tabernacles. So Christ will return in the fall. Therefore, the tribulation begins 7 years prior, will begin in the fall of 26, I believe. And so I believe we have that the snatching away must occur before then. So it could happen at any time. But there's something else that's going to happen next year. And I believe what's going to happen next year is an amazing prosperity come to the world. Donald Trump, for, I don't care what anybody has a case against him. If you may think Trump hates blacks, or he hates gays, or he hates black gays, or he hates Latin people, or he hates women, or he hates women, Latin people, or he certainly hates dogs and cats. He hates everybody. Okay, whatever. None of that's true. But if that's what you believe, so be it. But can you see past your personal animus? How somehow he offends you personally? Can you see past to good things that have happened and will happen under this man's second presidential administration? Closing the borders of the U.S. is going to cause great prosperity in this country. And when America prospers, the world prospers. Because so much money, an incredible amount of money was spent with millions and millions of millions of illegal immigrants coming into this country under the previous administration. That was done on purpose because they wanted voters. But what a drain that has been on the economy. There's that. And then Trump is a deal maker. Everyone has to agree with that. He's a businessman. Everyone has to agree with that. He knows how to cut a deal. And he has made so many deals with so many nations in the first year of his presidency. And there's been trillions of dollars that is now being invested in the United States from other countries. And this doesn't show up all at once. This takes time to mature. And I believe it's going to mature next year. And already seeing signs the end of this year that the economy is really coming back. That GDP number was over 4%, which was completely unexpected. Unexpected by stupid people. I mean, I expected it because it's a practical thing. When you do certain smart things, other things will naturally follow. When you lower taxes, and all the great tax breaks won't really happen until next year. When you lower taxes, you increase productivity. People get to keep more of their money. There's more people have disposable income, and the economy goes crazy. The government always takes in, this is the irony, the government always takes in more money when the taxes are lower than when the taxes are higher. Because when the taxes are higher, people aren't motivated to work more. People aren't motivated to start businesses. This is just common sense. I mean, I'm not the smartest guy politically or financially, but a stupid person can figure this stuff out. It's cause and effect. You lower taxes, people are incentivized to work because they get to keep more of their money and businesses flourish. You let people keep their money, they make more money. If you put a ceiling on how much they can make before they're taxed to death, then they're going to stop and they're not going to produce and the economy will flatten. It's so freaking simple. And then the tariffs have been absolutely fantastic. Tariff being a tax on imports. We've given other countries a pass. We don't tax them at all for selling their crap here in our country. They tax the crap out of us when we send exports to other countries. They've loaded us with tariffs and we haven't given them any. Trump is just evening the score. And because of that, trillions and trillions of dollars are coming into our country. So besides the investments, you have these trillions of dollars coming in from tariffs, which is going to cause Trump to cut a check to Americans. Like, I think the rumor is everybody in this country is going to get like a $2,000 check. I'll take it. It's like a refund check from all the money we're getting. Only Trump would change the phrase Internal Revenue Service to External Revenue Service. The thinking is, why the hell would we tax our own people when we can tax other people for selling their goods in America, because we're the greatest market in the world. Everybody wants to sell their shit here. So we're going to tax you in order to do that. You have to pay in order to sell your stuff here. Sorry. We haven't been doing it, but now we're doing it, and it's fair. And the other countries realize they've been getting an unfair break all these years, and so they begrudgingly admit, yeah, okay, yeah, this is more fair. We hate to say it because we've been robbing you blind for decades. And then we've been drilling, we're able now to drill for oil, right? The previous administration being idiotic, completely stupid, you know, and trying to save the earth. Another completely idiotic and stupid enterprise has just disallowed any sort of going after our own natural resources, such as oil. So because we're opening up the pipelines, because we're allowing drilling again, we're going to have such a surplus of oil, we'll be able to export it like Trump's first term. This is what happened in Trump's first term. I've been predicting gasoline at $1 a gallon at the pump. You pump your gas $1 a gallon. How would you like that? How would you like that? I bet you even the people who hate Trump will like paying only $1 at the pump. I see this coming. I see it coming. And I believe that next year, all these things that Trump has put into place this year, again, it's not going to happen instantaneously. It takes time for these countries to come over here, build factories. Because Trump has put so many tariffs on these other countries to import their stuff here, these countries are moving their factories here and making their shit here because there's no tariffs when you make your product domestically. So they're coming to America every time that flag's unfurled. They're coming to America. They're coming to America because everybody wants to make money. What do you know? God, who could have guessed that everybody wants to make money? Who could have guessed that a businessman as president could cause the economy to thrive when he's not crippled by people who hate him, trying to impeach him, trying to imprison him for no reason, for made up crimes? Leave this man alone. If the other side was actually for prosperity, we would see 50 cent a gas, 50 cent per gallon gas. I mean, it's that easy. The problem that Trump's enemies have is he's proving that government is the problem, not the solution. When government gets out of the way, frees the people to be industrious, takes away the taxes. I think Trump is eventually, if there's enough time left in the eon, he would get rid of income tax completely, abolish the IRS. If Trump abolishes the IRS, they'll carve his face onto Mount Rushmore. They'll get rid of one of those dudes. I don't know, really can't get rid of any of those dudes, but I was at Mount Rushmore several years ago, and I think there's space for Trump. Put Trump up there. If he ends the Ukrainian-Russian war, he's already ended eight wars, seven or eight. Everybody thought he was going to, all the lies they told about this guy, he's going to start World War III. Well, no, he ends war. You know, he's going to break the bank, the tariffs are going to ruin us. No, the tariffs have brought a surplus of money to this country. So, hey, you know, if Trump's this end time boogeyman, you have to like it financially. And I don't know if you've ever had a daughter of yours raped and killed, or if any of your children have been murdered by an illegal immigrant, or somebody who's been arrested 18 times and been let out. I believe you would be quite pissed if that ever happened to you. And I bet that you would vote for a president who vowed to make American cities safe again and to take criminals off the street. Like, is that a genius? Does it take a genius to want to make people safe, to put criminals in jail and to not let criminals come across the border? Does that make sense, or am I losing my mind here? Okay. People say, Well, it doesn't matter. Well, maybe it doesn't matter to you because maybe one of your kids wasn't murdered or raped by someone who wasn't even supposed to be here, who was allowed in here illegally, or who was arrested 14 times and released 14 times. Maybe it doesn't matter to you. But just once, try to think about other people. I'm not talking to my general audience, but there's a few. Try to think about other people and how they might feel about making cities safe again. And that's one of the main platforms of Trump's presidency, make America safe again. Who doesn't want that? Well, the Democrats don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want to see Trump succeed at anything. It's really pathological. It's pathological. They would rather see the country destroyed, and they would rather see people killed and murdered and raped than to see this man succeed. They barely begrudgingly at times admit, well, yeah, he did close the border. Yeah. All he's doing is enforcing existing laws. He's not making up new laws. Trump's a king. Oh, really? He's a king? Gee, it seems to me he had to be elected in 2024. Kings don't have to be elected. You see, kings don't hold elections. Kings don't have to go through Congress to make laws. They just make laws. Trump had to go through Congress to get his bill passed. I don't know if anybody noticed that who thinks Trump's a king. Okay, all this to tell you that 2026 is going to be amazing prosperity and peace. Peace too, peace. I hate to tell some people this, people are going to be disappointed, but Trump's the president of peace. Prosperity, my God. Next year, we're going to see amazing prosperity. And that, I believe, will coincide with 7 years, with the 2033 minus 7 years, the beginning of the tribulation. Isn't it ironic that this period of great plenty would be the year that the tribulation starts? But isn't that part of it? Isn't that when they are saying that all things are good, everything's good, there's going to be no problems? That's the exact time that the thief comes in the night and boom, boom, the time of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation begins at the apex of human achievement. That's what 666 is all about. This is not even to mention AI. And Jax has talked about this on her show. AI, artificial intelligence, is certainly putting on the fast track the government's ability to bring about the beast system and the 666, the name of the beast or its number or the image of the wild beast. It's not going to be 666. I mean, the number of the beast is 666, but it's not going to, nobody's going to have 666 put on their forehead. It's too obvious, but the mark, that's the word I'm looking for, not image, mark of the beast could even be an invisible thing in the hand or the forehead. Why the hand? Why does scripture say hand or the forehead? Because these are the areas of the body that are always exposed unless a woman is wearing long, luxurious leather opera gloves. Well, I'm totally in favor of that, but except for that, you know, the hand and the forehead's always exposed. So that's where the mark will be. And so even if Trump is the facilitator of that, like he stupidly facilitated the CV19er thing back in the day, I don't agree with any of that, okay? And I'm not saying that this man is not going to facilitate the beast system. He is. I mean, you know, I believe the man is the man of lawlessness. I believe he's the man of lawlessness. So, of course, something diabolical has to happen. But in the meantime, the man means good and prosperity and safety. What's not to like about any of that? Riddle me this. What is not to like about any of that? So I just think we're sitting on the brink of everything. It's been 2,000 years since the death of Christ, almost now, right? 2033. Subtract those 7 years for the tribulation, the last 7 years that remains from Daniel's prophecy of 490 sevens, and the time of the nations not counting toward the elapsed time. The elapsed time stopped at the rending of the veil in the temple, Israel temporarily being cast aside. The clock stopped. The clock's going to start again in that last 7 years. It's going to run its course, and then Christ will return. It's tricky. It's tricky, but it's there. It's tricky, but it's there. And so, lift up your heads, ladies and gentlemen, my fellow members of the body of Christ, for I believe sincerely that our redemption draws nigh.